Yeah, use that one.
Okay.
So, yeah, we're on the air, and okay. WMFO.
Good radio already.
Well, hi there.
Yeah, yeah.
Hi, everybody.
How's it going?
You know, it's good. It's good. We're at Tufts, of course, because that's where the station is. So where else would we go? And we're talking about the noise outside from the construction, because it's very, very exciting.
It's really exciting. The Green Line's going to literally end at Tufts University.
Yeah.
So all these students are going to be able to just walk across the street, get on the Green Line, and head into Boston.
Yeah, it's really, really, really a good thing.
Yeah.
Mark and Les Hurwitz, welcome.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I just thought I'd tell everybody that you were here since you're talking.
My voice is already shot, by the way.
That's cool. It's a good radio voice, as we say.
Yeah. Yeah. I've been straying, I guess, you know, a little
straying?
Bit. Straying. Doing some segments here and there.
Oh, yeah. You're like Mr. Radio lately.
Yeah. This weekend's insane, actually.
That's
but,
good.
But, hey, this is home.
Yeah. Yeah, love doing this.
Yeah.
Good morning, Mr. Other Les Hurwitz.
Hi, this is the Other Les, right?
Yeah. How art thou?
I art? Yeah, I am an
well,
art. That's correct.
I was leading you into Art Tatum.
Thank you. Well, you did it clumsily, but we worked.
Gee, thanks. So you're going to be talking about art today.
Yes, with a provocative question, which I will give you later.
Okay. Fine. Be that way. Mark, he's being secretive.
What else is new?
Yeah. Secretive something you called yourself anyway.
It's not secretive so much as it is provocative, and it's not because I made it up. It just is a question I'm going to ask the audience and have them all participate, and they'll find it's actually entertaining.
Okay, so everybody at home, get your pencils and papers ready.
And I know we don't do news, but there is a bit of a breaking story.
Oh, yeah?
There's a SWAT situation at the Hingham shipyard right now.
No kidding.
And there's shots fired and a barricaded person. Been going on for about 20 minutes now. And I'm just saying this because I go there a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate to say it. It's the last place you would expect it, but then again, it happens everywhere.
So stay clear of the Hingham shipyard.
Yeah, do not go near the Hingham shipyard right now. We're not sure what's going on.
Is there a lockdown over there,
Mark? Yeah, they said the SWAT team is there and there's a barricaded person. So, yeah, stay away.
All right, well, let's do what we do best here at WMFO. We'll cure our ills with music.
Sounds good.
Mark's going to have a 5-song set sometime in the 10 o'clock hour, and you're also going to talk about some of the latest news and reviews in the Boston restaurant scene.
It's been some really crazy, awful news lately, although there was some really good news late last night.
All right.
I actually drove home to write about this story because it was so good.
Oh, are you going to talk about it today?
Maybe.
What's
it worth to you?
Well, we'll negotiate.
Okay, sounds good.
All right, so let's do the first new noise of the day. I'm going to do a couple of sets, and around 9:30, our friend Les will weigh in on Art Tatum. He just checked his watch to see where he's at. So the first new noise I have is from a great artist called M. Ward. Brand new music called Unreal City. It's WMFO in Medford.
Searching when and where and who can stay in this. saw the final tidal wave. Yeah, I saw the big one break, and the forest started to sink in continental shade. And so anywhere the sun strikes the pavement, anywhere there's feet on the street, I feel the most in the moment. I found the peace in the unreal city. Unreal city, that's how. Unreal city, unreal city, where big one sleeps tonight. clever way to say goodbye, 'cause I've almost washed my hands of you, and it almost fades away, and it almost fades away, and it almost fades away, and you saw. So fades away, and it almost fades away, and you're so to replace all the ghosts and the hope and the chase, and it almost fades away, and it almost fades away, and it almost fades away, and you're so the one you go around for nothing, and you're so we'll be right back.
Hey, this is Amanda Palmer and the Grand Theft Orchestra, and you're listening to WMFO Medford.
WMFO, 9:20 in the morning. What was that?
I was clearing my throat.
Oh.
So professional.
Well.
You know what else is professional?
What?
This chair.
Yeah.
I don't know. For some reason today, it the back keeps going backwards too far, and I feel like I'm going to fall out
the window.
Yeah, it's like a Laurel and Hardy movie.
It's likely adjustable.
Oh, you have vertigo too.
I think I might have vertigo, or the chair has vertigo.
Yeah.
Can chairs have vertigo?
No.
I wish I had a tool that I could find out. Oh, here, Google. Let me Google that.
Have we told people who we are, what the station is yet?
No, I'm not sure. Do they care? Of course they care.
Where are we? WMFO, Tufts Freeform Radio.
Medford.
In Medford.
Yeah.
Yep.
Oh, there you are.
It's Mike. That's me. There's Mark. That's him. And there's Les.
Mm-hmm.
That's him.
More or less, right.
And we just finished playing 5-song set for you.
That was a great power pop set.
Most
of it was power pop.
Yeah.
Really good.
Except for the last request.
Little
which
blues.
We'll get to in a bit.
Yeah.
Started with New Noise from M. Ward, brand new single called Unreal City.
Ward's just awesome.
A poppy little ditty there. It was really cool.
I was the person who bought his first record.
Yeah, you were the person?
Yeah. Huh. And it is a masterpiece. I mean, I always thought he was going to be kind of like the next David Bowie because he does so many types of music and he's so talented. But, you know, in this era, a lot of really talented people don't make it that big.
As we were talking before, there's so many people you could mm-hmm. say that about.
Yeah.
Great song, again, Unreal City. Classic from Badfinger. Just after that, No Matter What. Local luminary, as I like to say, Will Daly, from 2004's Goodbye Red Bullet CD. That was For Nothing. What can you say about Will Daly and other beautiful songs?
Will Daly is just awesome. He is so good.
His back catalog is outstanding.
Yeah.
Again, that was called For Nothing. After that, NRBQ from 1978's At Yankee Stadium CD. We won't hold that against them, will we?
Yes, we will.
All right, we will hold that
against
them.
Stadium.
Great song, though, called I Want You Bad. And the last track was a request for David Riley. Great request. I know David can't listen today, so I'm going to talk really loud. So no matter where he... No. But he wanted to hear Eric Tesmer Band, T-E-S-S-M-E-R, a track called Early, Early Morning. And he wanted me to tell you that Eric and his band will be at 9 Wallace in Beverly on January 31st.
Have you been there?
I have.
Is it nice?
It is. It's a really small room, which is great. It makes it intimate. And, well, actually, in front of the stage is kind of small, but they have an extra bit of space and time down to the right of where you would be sitting.
Yeah.
Did that help at all? Because
no, not really.
All right.
But is it a restaurant and bar too?
Yes, it is.
Okay.
They serve during performances like barbecue. Really good barbecue, actually.
It's a little like the Cabot. You ever been to the Cabot?
Not in a long time.
Yeah, Cabot's pretty nice. But no, I haven't been there. So maybe one of these nights we'll head over.
It's a great place to go.
Sounds good.
Yeah. All right, so what do we do now?
I don't know. It's 9:23. We need to fill the... Maybe we can do summer stock. Can we do summer stock?
We can't.
Oh, can't we? No.
No, it's January.
From all the time I did in the Catskills, all the...
Oy vey.
We won't get into that.
Okay, so...
All right, now what?
Yeah,
oh,
so,
hey, music.
I'm going to do
music.
One more set. I have some more new noise. This time from Cage the Elephant. Elevator. From their last record called Social Cues, except it's not really from the record because they had this track on there called Broken Boy. Really great track. But then now, this came out like Q4 of last year, and they put this song out again. It's marketed as a new version, but the new part of it is Iggy Pop is on one verse, and he's doing background vocals.
You know, that makes sense.
Why?
Because Cage the Elephant, they have that little punk streak in them.
That's what Iggy said about it. There's a little write-up about this, how this came about.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he loves the band and he loves this song. And, you know, they started talking about it. And he says, why don't we do this?
And, you know, the lead singer, I mean, he's absolutely insane. He is the type, he will do the stuff Iggy Pop used to do years ago.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of synergy there. So happy to play for you the new version of Broken Boy from Cage the Elephant. Featuring Iggy on one verse and background vocals. It's awesome. It's new noise at WMFO right here in Medford.
something. Rumors spreading into panic. I seen movements and the clearing. Someone sent you something satanic. I have to leave you. Radar's calling.
Listen carefully. What do you hear?
Good beat.
Yes.
Do you know what that is?
No, that's right. Okay.
That's the sound of someone being there. The sound of someone caring about a kid.
Good shot. Yes.
That's the sound of a mentor. See a movie together, play catch, or just hang out. The important thing is spending time together. A little of your time means a lot to a kid.
This is Laura Bush. Help America's youth. Be a friend. Be a mentor. Just be there.
To be a mentor, go to BigBrothersBigSisters.org. That's BigBrothersBigSisters.org. A public service message brought to you by Big Brothers Big Sisters and the Ad Council.
Tufts Freeform Radio. WMFO, Bedford.
Have mercy on my ears, will you?
Wishing on a star to follow where you are. I'm wishing on a dream to follow where you be. And I'm wishing on all the rainbows that I see. Wishing on all the people who've ever been. Wishing on tomorrow, when will it come? Wishing on all the loving we've ever done. I'm wishing on a star to follow where you are. I never thought I'd see a time when you would be so far away. Of all the moments that we spent, I just can't let you go from me. You were meant, I didn't mean to hurt you. And I know that in the game of loving you, I was so. I feel it's time for us to make up, baby. I feel it's time for us to get back to.
WMFO Medford, 9:41 in the morning. Mike here, Mark here, Les here. How you doing? Just about ready to pass the baton over to Les. But first, let me tell you what I played in that set. New Noise was cool from Cage the Elephant's latest album, but not really, because they released a new version of a track, a really good track called Broken Boy, that didn't have Iggy Pop on it, but this one did. One verse, background vocals. It's called Broken Boy from the album Social Cues. Good stuff, everybody. Dada after that from their record called El Subliminoso. Time is Your Friend. Great track from Dada, huh? That was...
Yeah. So Al...
Al Petulis, yeah. Well, he turned me on to Dada. Yeah.
Boy.
Really, really excellent band.
Very grungy.
Very.
I mean, to me, it sounded a little like Alice in Chains.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, really good ear. Absolutely. And both ears actually are very good.
I like
them equally.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate it.
A really deep track I wanted to play from Elton John from the Caribou record. That's called I've Seen the Saucers. And I love that track because it's indicative of the famous sound that he has. You know, taking the great Bernie Taupe top in lyrics, putting a melody to it with flowing background vocals. I've seen the Saucers.
And yet no one knows that song.
No one knows that song. Nope. And just ended up with something we were saying, or I was saying, or we were saying, I don't know. I could listen to that all day long, every day. Paul Weller, Wishing on a Star.
Yeah, he's, you know, I mean, we all love him with the Jam.
Yeah.
But after, post-Jam.
His solo stuff is crazy good.
Boy, it's really good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Blue-Eyed mm-hmm. Soul.
Yep, absolutely. All right, so 9:43 in the morning. Hi, Les.
Hello, everybody.
So we're going to hear more from that wonderful pianist, composer, Art Tatum. And you're going to pose a question to us about something we're going to hear.
Yeah, well, you are a sage. You know about these things before I talk to you about
I really kind of
so
do.
We must have done it telephonically. I'm not sure.
It's not like you emailed me or anything.
Well, I must tell you, when I heard the name Elton John, and Mark mentions to me that John is probably in his 70s now, what mm-hmm. wafted into my mind was when both Mark and his brother, Eric, and my wife and I sauntered down to Amish country by car into Philadelphia. On the way, we heard an announcer. This was a local announcer somewhere in Pennsylvania. And he mentioned Elton John, and for the first time I heard the name Elton Toilet. And I thought to myself, what a strange name. And, of course, it was Elton John. But he was the first one I remember using the word toilet instead of John, and made it famous to me for the wrong reason. At any rate, that's memory. I'd like to talk to you about Art Tatum, whom I've discussed before. We've had a few programs on him. And just to sort of recapitulate that which we've gone over, that is the reality that Tatum's name increasingly over the last probably 20 years has joined the faculty interest quotient in probably every major, certainly important music college or music conservatory in the Western world. And the reason primarily is just this incredibly gifted instrumentalist who commanded the attention of such giants as Tchaikovsky and Horowitz and Rachmaninoff. And he's the only one who amassed this kind of power as a pop and jazz pianist. Just to give you a placement chronologically, as you may remember that in any of the seminars I deal with or anything that I had done in college, especially in lectures, I never use any notes. I just let thoughts come into my mind. So if I jumble a sentence once or twice, it's simply because another thought that is germane may be of interest to you. For instance, the first thing to know, to remember, is that Tatum was born 1909 and died in 1956. So, you know, he was into his 47th year. So in only 47 years, he just changed the whole concept of performance. And I'm talking about not only pop, but classical as well. And we'll get into the reason, primarily, that arguably the greatest pianist of his time, Vladimir Horowitz, during the 20th century, probably the most powerful pianist in the 20th century, arguably, who demanded to meet this guy. And he never demanded anything like that of any musician. He talked very sparingly, that is Horowitz, about other musicians. He would say, oh, this guy is a good pianist, and so forth, and, you know, Rachmaninoff was a good pianist, and so forth. But when it came to Art Tatum, when he first heard him, and keep in mind that Horowitz knew nothing about pop or jazz, just the playing of the instrument, he demanded that they meet, which did occur. We can go into that a little more later on. We're going to do something today, and I'm going to ask of you, if you're doing anything and you want to listen to this radio and remain entertained for the next half hour or so, please do nothing except listen. Not because I said it, but because you will be entertained more by way of the directions I give you in terms of what to listen for when you hear these particular recordings. What I decided to do was to go back in time to see how this giant was put together. And of course, one of the prerequisites was there to begin with, and that's the word genius. But out of the word genius comes a kind of product that we're still catching up with, and really, which has not been equaled. I think of Tatum, even though they're worlds apart in terms of culture and in terms of the style of music, along with someone like Mozart. You know, when you think of Mozart, who could write music before he could write his own name, and Mozart stating that I can see an entire symphony on the head of a pin. What kind of imagery are we talking about? He was able to, that is Mozart, wrote 35 of his 41 symphonies by age 31. Beethoven had done one. Now, I'm not saying that one is better than the other. It's just that the difference in the height of genius equals the kind of thing that this fellow from Toledo, who never got past the 10th grade in high school, he had to leave and work, had, and that his name was Art Tatum. I decided to go back to as far as I could in terms of the taproots, and I was astounded, as much as I know about Tatum, about what I heard in terms of what you're going to hear, and you're going to share these few recordings with me right now. We're going to go back to the 30s. If he was born in 1909, the first recording you're going to hear is one, 1934. So, of course, that makes him, 25 years old. You're going to hear, and from this point on, the same kind of investigation that this youngster was engulfed by, namely, how far can I go on this instrument? He may not have actually asked this of the instrument consciously, but this is what he was compelled to find out about the physicality and the technology of technique, namely the art of playing the instrument. I want to make sure that you understand that I'm not talking about the music in terms of interpretation. In this case, I'm asking you to hear him as a player of the instrument. And I think that's the reason. Why did Horvitz want to meet him? He knew nothing about pop, but he heard something in his piano playing that said, I've got to know this man. It's quite a mystery. What to listen for. Those of you who know the piano will be overwhelmed by what you hear, because you know generally what to listen for. Of course, we know the piano is a kind of portable instrument, and of course we can get simultaneity. It's not one note at a time like with, a cello or violin or trumpet or whatever. You have 10 fingers available. What can be done with those 10 fingers? Now, the amazing thing about these pieces are that they are pieces, they are controlled, they, in order to be identified, then they've got to go through the harmonies, they've got to go through the melody, and of course the piano is capable of dealing with both, plus the rhythms which are inculcated into both aspects of music. So, first of all, dynamically, keep in mind that the right hand, which plays the melody more often than the left, has not only got to play the melody so that you know the tune, but also in the same hand, some of the harmonies. And they have to be at a less loud reality than the melody. You've got to hear the melody so that you know that that melody tells you what the tune is. But the harmonies that carry the melody have also got to be in part with the right hand, along with the left hand, which carries the rhythm. And let's go to what happens with Tatum. Of all the pianists, including all the way up to today, in terms of pop playing, Tatum used more of the left hand than any pianist ever, outside of perhaps Oscar Peterson, who runs very close, who was a great pianist as well in the pop field. But Tatum is still a person to be caught up to in terms of the totality. In the left hand, very often we get stride piano, which was introduced to Art Tatum as a youngster, and influenced by both of these very important pianists. One was Fats Waller, and the other was James P. Johnston. They developed stride piano, which is, oompa, oompa, oompa. Okay, so the oomp is a single note in the left hand, lower on the piano, and pa, of the oompa, is the chord that the left hand comes up to and plays as many as two or three notes at a time. And when you think of oompa, that is single note chord, going at 16 to 18 notes per second, ask yourself, how in the world can that be done? Oompa, 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 like that. Can you imagine? That is what stride piano is. And Tatum himself is unequaled in stride techniques. Wait till you hear. Now, I'll stop talking. I want you to hear this, but I'm going to preface that which you're about to hear by the question. This is a question that's argumentative because it can never be answered. It can only be a yes, no, I don't believe so, and so forth. Listen, especially those of you who play the piano, but on the part of those who don't know the piano, know enough about what I said in terms of dynamics and speed and just the totality. What you're going to hear with the young Tatum is experimentation in the same way that Chopin, 100 years before, was doing in his writing of the Etudes. The word étude, of course, in French meaning study. What Chopin did in the 19th century was to shove the piano technologically forward by addressing the question, now what do I do with a particular pattern? How far can I go? Can I make the patterns something that make that étude identifiable? And he wrote, you know, many, many études, each of which has a definite and distinctive problem. Sometimes in the left hand, sometimes he would say, okay, more pianists are right-handed than left, so let's work on the left hand and develop that technique. This kind of investigation, okay? This is the kind of experimentation Chopin did. 100 years later, this uneducated fellow from Toledo, by the way, 8% vision in one eye and total lack of vision in the other. He was legally blind. He never saw the piano as you and I can see it. But on the other hand, he could see the instrument in terms so pure by way of the factor of distance which is perceived by someone who cannot see. How do you tell a pianist who is blind? What does blues mean in music? How can you tell them? So there are questions that we can never answer. So what I'm trying to tell you in my halting fashion here is that it's the imagery that this genius, in this case we call Art Tatum, to discover about himself by way of something that he had to do. Listen to this first piece. It's called I Would Do Anything for You. This comes out of 1934, so he was 25 years old. Listen to the totality of the expenditure of sound produced by the patterns in the right hand, a la Chopin, not so much in the style of Chopin, but in the physical nature of what to find on the instrument, based upon improvisation, which could not occur in classical music. In classical music, the notes always must be the same. In pop music, they are not supposed to be the same. If there were two recordings of this particular piece, both would be different. Listen to the expenditure pattern of the right hand coupled with the stride left hand. And a minute into the stride, he goes into double time with the stride. Listen to I Would Do Anything for You. It may be a strange sentence to evoke, but this man was almost incapable of playing a wrong note. When you think of the reality of distance without seeing, as that is you and I see, but the way he sees is the same sort of thing that Mozart said when he was asked, how can you write so quickly? And he said, well, the music is there. All I have to do is write it down. So it's a sense of imagery which defies description. He found a way to hit the center of every note. I noticed in this piece that there was not one note in the stride left that he missed. Not one. And there are comments about this man, even to this day. And one of the comments, really, in seriousness, we hear about it all the time, is, was this man a visitor from somewhere else? How can a human being do this sort of thing? Listen now to one of his own compositions called The Shout, done in the same year, 1934, and listen just to the totality of the sound production.